from my story to your story. Let's talk about grief. I will share my own grief journey, along with interviewing others about their path of sorrow and healing. I hope that you, the listener, will hear something that helps as you navigate your own grief, and that God will be glorified along the way. This content is meant as a discussion and not to give professional help. Let's get started.
I remember the loneliest day I have ever had in my entire life. And that was 3 months out from the time that my first husband, Don, had passed away. I remember it was a Wednesday because we had church that evening, and later in the afternoon, after a full day of crying, I thought, I just don't know that I can do this tonight. And there are many times in that 3 months that I may have missed church, or many more times that I thought about missing, but I had been spurred on to go ahead and go because my son, who had lost his dad and was my pastor, would go ahead and prepare and preach. And I thought, if he can do this, I can be there and support him. But this particular day, I felt like I just can't. I don't want to be out. I don't want to pretend I'm okay. I don't want to, sob in front of everybody all the time. Not that you can't cry in front of people, but I just didn't want to be around anyone. And I remember the battle that went through my mind that afternoon, just thinking, do I go? Do I not go? You can make yourself go. And then finally just texting my son and saying, you know what? I'm not going to be there tonight. I just cannot do this. And he lovingly texts me back, Mom, it's fine. It's fine if you miss, and everyone understands. Nobody's thinking ill of that. Just do what you need to do for you. And, do you need me to be there? Do you want me to come there? And just checking on me like a son would. And I said, no, I want to just be alone. But after I got off the phone with him, I just remember the relief of, okay, I'm not going to get ready. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to cry if I need to. And I can picture that exact moment. I was standing in front of my fireplace and just staring off, and the thought flooded my mind, if this is what the rest of my life is going to be like without Don, it is going to be a very long life. And don't mistake that my life was horrible in other ways. I had my sons, my daughters in love, who are wonderful, my grandchildren, my extended family, my church family. I was surrounded with wonderful people. But my heart was aching so badly to just be with and see Don, because no one can fill the void that the person that you've lost or the situation that's taken you into grief can. No one else can fill the void that is left there. You can be in a room of hundreds of people and still be lonely. You can be right by the people you love the most on this earth and still feel lonely. Because after you've experienced such a great loss, you long for them so deeply that nothing else satisfies that void. I will also say that your loneliness can come from losing any person that's dear to you in your life, but it can also be other situations. For example, you may have lost your job and you're lonely for that job. You miss that job. You wish you could have it, but you can't go back to it for whatever reason. You may be grieving a miscarriage, and that child that started to grow inside of you, nothing and no one can replace the longing you had to continue to grow that child and meet that child. Perhaps you've gone through a divorce, or you're the child of someone going through a divorce. Whether you're a child, a teenager, or an adult, you're still grieving the fact that your parents are no longer going to be together as your single family unit. That's all going to change. And so we grieve those changes and the loss of what we once knew. It may be that your children have grown up and left home and you're missing them, and you know that they're where they need to be and they're progressing on in life and growing up, but it doesn't take away the loneliness that you feel for having them in your home on a regular basis, or maybe someone dear to you has moved away. So whatever the reason is for your grief, grief brings loneliness. That's part of our grief journey, is that we cannot tangibly have back what we wanted or have back that person that we want to be with. I think that somewhat surprised me in those months because I hadn't experienced a grief like this. I had never experienced a loss so deep. So it took me by surprise that I could be with people that I love and still be overwhelmed with a feeling of loneliness. And especially at those times when your family tries to celebrate days that are important to you. For example, Don passed away in September. So right away in October, our middle son, Justin, had his birthday, and we had all always tried to get together on birthdays or somewhere near them. And it was so sad to stand there and feel the loneliness that Don was not there to share in our son's birthday. And it was equally devastating to look at my son's face and know that as excited as he was to be around the rest of us, it was a really rough birthday because his dad wasn't there. And to see that look of sadness on his face and to know that none of us could fill that void. Nothing we said would necessarily change it or make it better. Nothing we could do could take that away. And you just had to let him experience that loneliness. That Thanksgiving, we almost always went to my family in West Virginia, extended family, for Thanksgiving. I had missed only maybe 2 years in my grown-up years of being there at Thanksgiving. And this particular year, my children, it was their year to be with me for Thanksgiving. They were not going to be at in-laws. However, one of them had to work the day after Thanksgiving and really couldn't leave town and come back in just one day. And so I made the hard decision. I thought, you know what? No matter what, I cannot just leave him here on his first Thanksgiving without his dad, he and his family, and go to West Virginia. And so I remember letting my family know there, I just can't do this. I can't leave him alone. It's too important. And of course, they understood. And I said to them, I know you all have not only our family, if all of you came here, but you have your in-laws that you spend time with at Thanksgiving. And I just want you to know you're welcome, but I understand that that's really probably not possible. Well, my family did work it out and they did come stay with us. And, you know, so my sisters and their families and my mom and her husband, my dad, at different points of the Thanksgiving weekend, everyone made sure they came in and spent that time with us. And what a blessing for them to help us through those difficult days. But again, I can remember moments standing there and looking around at the crowded room and everyone there and the great food and some laughter and, you know, babies playing and all the things that make you smile and are exciting, and yet still feeling this overwhelming sense of loneliness that I hated that we were doing this without Don there. And then I remember trying to compensate for the loneliness. Not that this was wrong, it was a good idea and we got through it, but again, how awful it still was surprised me. My family loves Christmas, and Don and I did up Christmas as big as we could. Lots of good food, as many presents as we could rightfully afford, and we got a big kick out of finding very special gifts for everybody, and we worked on it together. So it was such a big deal for him to search and find deals and go pick things up when I couldn't, and I would pick up on the other end and he would go get some food and then I'd help make sure it was all ready. And, you know, we tag teamed, and it took both of us to pull off a wonderful Christmas every year. And I was overwhelmed thinking, I can't do this without him. I may as well just admit I don't have the energy. I don't have just the wherewithal to get everybody's presents and they all be special. Find enough that it's the same kind of Christmas we always have, make all the foods, and still enjoy the moment. And part of my brainstorming about that led me to decide to take some of the money for Christmas and take the kids on a trip. So we agreed to do that. Everybody seemed pretty excited about getting away. It'd been a very hard few months. And we decided to go to the Gaylord Hotel in the Washington, D.C. area and go to the ice slides and the scenes that they create, and they have all kinds of festivities. And I just thought this will be so special for the grandkids. And it was. But we really just went through the motions of doing this. that whole weekend where we went away as a family, we were so tickled to see the grandkids enjoy all the fun things and all the activities together. But you could just see it and feel it in my demeanor and in my sons and my daughters in love. It just wasn't the same. And I, again, remember sitting on the side of the bed and thinking, this will never be okay. This is never going to be the same. I miss Don so much, and it's just not okay without him. So what did I do to get through that extreme loneliness, the kind that just can swallow you whole, the kind where you don't even want to be here anymore? I can remember really truly feeling like, Lord, it would be fine if you take me on home. I wanted to be here for my kids and my grandkids. I wanted to have a purpose and serve a purpose here on earth. My mind knew that I shouldn't think about things like suicide, but my heart hurt so badly to just say, it's okay if I'm not here, if you want to take me. I just didn't want to go through each day and the rest of my life without him. So that's how deep my loneliness went, and I'm sure it's how deep your loneliness goes if you are grieving for someone or something. And we have to go on. How do we do that? Well, for me, there were various things that I put into play over time. Definitely acknowledging the memories of that person. In other words, when you're having a difficult time, just say so. When you need to talk about your person again and relive some memories with people to keep him before you, then go ahead and do that. When you are at an event like a birthday or Thanksgiving or Christmas, or a special day comes around like your loved one's birthday, the one that passed, or an anniversary, all the things, go ahead and allow yourself to acknowledge how awful it is without that person. Everybody talk about it for a minute, cry about it for a minute, face it. And then it's okay that some of that sadness can lift and the rest of the event doesn't have to be so heavy. So I think obviously talking about it is important. I also believe that praying to God about the situation is important. And I don't mean just, Lord, help me. I mean actually telling him how you feel. He is the best counselor. He's the best therapist. Not knocking if you go to a counselor or a therapist. I think many times it is needed and is so helpful. But don't forget that he is your all-wise counselor. Don't forget that he is the best therapist you can have. And you can be honest with him. He already knows what you're struggling with. He already knows what your thoughts are. He just wants to hear you talk about it. And it's therapeutic to talk about it. So I can remember telling God, you know, I'm really grateful that I'm here and I'm with my kids. I'm with my grandkids. I'm really grateful for my friends. I'm very thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my job or whatever the situation was. But Lord, this stinks. I hate that this is your plan for me, just to be honest. I hate that even though I know from your word, which is true, that you know best for me and you have a plan, I hate that it's without Don. I don't like the loneliness that just floods my soul and is so deep and troublesome. So I do believe that talking to God about the situation and just being very transparent with him, not disrespectful, not angry, but just admitting that there is such a depth to the loneliness that it is so difficult to navigate. I would also say that I mixed my days with both feeling lonely and letting the grief overtake me with getting back out there and doing things in and around people. I don't know that I did everything right, so to speak, or if there is even a right way to do it, but I do know that you are not made to grieve 24/7. Your body and your mind are not made for grief from daylight to dark, day after day after day. There has to be times when you get relief from it, when you set it aside, when you stop carrying that heavy burden for a little while. Otherwise, you hear people say they actually grieve themselves to death, or you know, their health broke down after someone's death, or they had mental trouble after someone's death. They battled depression, which I think you're going to battle some of that, but I mean deep depression that they couldn't come out of. And dealing with these things can cause some serious issues if you grieve from daylight to dark. It's okay to give yourself a reprieve from some of that. By that I mean, yes, have your days like my days that I said, I'm not going out. I'm not putting on makeup. I'm not going out in public. I'm just want to be home. I'm by myself. I want to cry as much as I want to cry. But also balance that. You've got to get back out there some. And it won't be fun. It won't be fulfilling, is even a better way to put it. When you go to events, when you get together with family, when you have those things happen in your life where you're around other people, you will still feel an emptiness and a loneliness that just, it doesn't go away. And you may come back home from it and think, why did I even go? Well, because they need you. They want you around. They want you in their life. And eventually you will be thankful and enjoy those moments with those people again. Maybe you'll even enjoy some of the moments of that event and dread some of the moments of that event in your loneliness. They can coincide with each other, that feeling of I'm lonely and I'm enjoying being around my people. So the saying, put one foot in front of the other, is true. Just make yourself say yes to some things, even though you say no to some things, and get back out there and be around people. And make sure that you understand that those people need you, they love you, they want you there in their lives. I would also say the scriptures. The reason I refer to the scriptures, even though sometimes you don't feel like reading your Bible or hearing what God has to say when you're in that kind of despair, the Bible is truth. And so what God has to say to us, even if our heart doesn't want to believe it, even if our mind is trying to tell us otherwise, we know through faith that we can believe God. He is not a liar. And he says in Isaiah 41:10, he's speaking to Israel about the battles that they're going through. And he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. To recap that verse, he's telling you, don't be afraid for what you're going through. Just know that I'm with you. In other words, when they were headed into battles that they were fighting, he didn't say, don't go into the battle. He's basically saying, you can trust me that I'm going to stay with you through it. You don't have to have despair over this because I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. Thus the idea that we don't have to be strong. He's doing the strengthening. We can be weak and he can do something about it. I will help you is what he says, and I'll uphold you. If that doesn't sound like grief, you say, well, that had to do with a battle. It doesn't apply. No, I disagree, because grief is a battle. It's a daily battle to get up and face life without your person or the situation that you are grieving, being separated from. So it is a battle. It's a battle to get out of bed. It's a battle to face the day. It's a battle to go somewhere. It's a battle to be normal. It's a battle to even want to go on in life at all without the person that you are grieving. So God tells us he's with us. He will strengthen us. In Joshua 1:9, Joshua is told before battle, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, you hear that word dismayed. Don't be to the place that you think that this is hopeless, because he says, I want you to be strong. In other words, in his strength, God's strength, and of a good courage. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's just going on, even in fear. And then he says, remember, I'm with you. I'm going to go with you wherever you go. So in that pit of the darkest loneliness that you can possibly be experiencing, God is with you. You know, when he says he's with us whithersoever thou goest, or wherever you are, at whatever and whatever you're dealing with, Jesus Christ has the authority to say that, because he has been through it. You say, what do you mean he's been through it? Well, he came to earth and he left behind heaven and he left behind his heavenly Father. And he came in the form of a man. And although he was God in the flesh and perfect,
He experienced what we as humans experience, love, hurt, pain, rejection, all the things that we experience here. If you think about his journey to the cross and all that he endured for you and I, he even goes back and he quotes the scriptures on the cross when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's actually quoting a psalm, Psalm 22, when David said that to God when he felt lonely and rejected and in despair, when he felt like he had no one. And yet God reminded even David at that time, I am with you. I'm going to help you through this. And Jesus Christ takes those words that he knows, because he knows his own scripture, and he repeats them to God on the cross. And he says, why are you forsaking me? And that was when God the Father had to turn his back and not look upon sin, as Jesus bore the sins of each of us throughout all of time. And the magnitude of that, of his own heavenly Father rejecting him, separating himself from him. We even see in the scriptures when Lazarus passed away, even though Jesus knew that he would bring him back from the dead, he was sad. He felt that emotion of grief that I've lost someone. It says that Jesus wept. So he felt the emotions we feel. He's gone through grief like we have. And he's even had the separation from the dearest one to him, and that's his heavenly Father. So he knows what you're going through. And when he says, I'll be with you through it, he's not just being sympathetic, he's being empathetic. He has experienced what you've experienced, and he's going to help you through this. And I'll also remind you that time is a healer. I hated that saying, and it sounds trite, because sometimes we equate healing with forgetting our person. It's not the same thing. You can heal on this journey to where your wound is not so open and so raw, and still love your person so deeply, miss that person so deeply. But there comes a point when the blinders that you put on in the rawest moments of your grief, where all you can see is right here in front of you, and because of that, all you can see is how awful it is, that there's no hope. You feel despair, you feel dismay, and you don't really know that you even want to feel okay again, because then that means, oh, am I okay without my person? It's not, I don't want to call it a selfishness, because it's not that. It's not a selfishness. It's just where you are in life, that you can only see what you're going through. And with time, as your mind and your body and your heart and your spirit accept that you do life without this person, that you have to go on, that you have to figure out what God wants to do with you, just you, still here without that person. And you kind of unwrap your identity and stand on your own, so to speak, without your person. God enables you with time to accept it and to see that he has a plan for you, and even a plan for the situation that happened to you, and to use it for his glory and for your good. And that, I think, has helped me. It's just, you know, over time, I have come to the realization that, hey, my kids want me around for as long as God will allow it. And if I'm here to be mom and to be Nana, my extended family wants me around. I can be a sister and I can be a daughter. My church family wants me around. My friends want me around. Most of all, God wants me here for some purpose, for some reason, to keep going. And so when my focus becomes more about that and less about the rawness of my grief, then with time, that loneliness becomes tampered with fulfillment and joy. It's not that you ever stop missing the person that you love or the thing that you lost, but it does become different and your focus becomes different. And I hope today that you'll find comfort in some of these things, and that you'll join me for more discussions as we unpack this difficult journey of grief.
We appreciate you joining us today at Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
At Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, as new episodes are added weekly. Thank you again for joining us as we unpack our grief. We hope you have been reminded that you are not alone in this journey.